welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. And for the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about beating the common cold. And we do have a brief quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, it grows short. And our devotional puts us in Romans 14, where it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Yes, joy and peace this time of year is what we want. We want it all year round. And if you don't have then that in your life, then seek the Lord's face, mind the time, and simply ask. If you don't have it, you haven't asked. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first thing in the quacker here is this is a new study on vape mouthpieces contain a lot of bacterial. It's a bacterial hotspot, they said. This is a new study that found that vape mouthpieces accumulate bacteria and fungi at a rate of 3,000 times higher than a typical public toilet seat. So within just 2 or 3 days of simulated use, researchers observed an explosive growth of microbes, with the mouthpiece reaching approximately 150,000 colony bacterial forming units. The contamination includes bacteria like staph and, fecal bacterial like E. coli. These were all transferred to your hands and then from other surfaces, obviously, and then to this mouthpiece. So the study's lead microbiologist was involved, and he recommends you clean the entire vape device with an antibacterial cloth or alcohol wipe every 3 days, stating that the common advice of once a week is going to be far, far too long, and bacteria will grow there. And that wraps the quack report. All right, so we're going to jump on into this beating the common cold. Let's see what they say, how we can beat it. The medical science has been trying to produce a prescription to counter the common cold for years. The problem is there's, several hundred viruses out there that could cause a cold. So in the United States, the cold season runs from September through April, with higher concentrations of cold cases in February. So this is particularly a time that affects, your cold, the dry air, the viral transmissions, and the human immune system response is probably a little weak from all the holiday celebrating. Let's brace for the cold, though, because colder weather will bring viruses with it. Statistics show that 1 billion people will come down with what is called the common cold. Each season, the common cold is generated by a virus. It affects the upper respiratory tract. According to science, we have 14,000 known viruses, that 200 are a solid candidate out of the 14,000 to be your common cold culprit. So people still flock to their doctor's office to be treated for a common cold, only to discover they will be given suggestions to rest, drink more water, and use over-the-counter products to lessen the symptoms. So the frequency in which people catch colds are this: adults on average 2 to 4 colds per year, children 6 to 8 colds per year, and most of colds occur in the fall and winter months. Well, here's a little history. It was not until 1956 in England that the common cold virus was given the name. It's called rhinovirus. So by 2000, the University of Maryland had mapped the genetic sequence of the rhinovirus family. According to the modern medicine, it has no cure for this virus, and it has to run its course. So this could explain why science has conducted hundreds of studies on herbs that help the body combat viruses, like garlic, for instance, but science can't seem to make an effective drug therapy out of it. Yet garlic is very deep. It's complex, and they can't seem to qualify for a patent on it. All right, so let's look at some of the common cold symptoms, which I know you all are very familiar with. Stuffy, runny nose, drainage down the back of your throat, sinus pressure, watery eyes, headache, aches and pains, sneezing, as well as weak sense of smell and taste, coughing, and fever. Now, the fever is an infection indicator. There's also the possibility that infection of the nose, sinuses, and throat may really be a flu bug in disguise. So how viruses infiltrate you, the host? Well, virus enter the human body through your mouth or your nose and is very contagious. The virus is spread by breathing in the infected droplets from someone's sneeze or cough, or you become infected with hand-to-hand contact. You touch a surface that has been freshly treated with the virus-infected sputum, and you touch your face, rub your eye, nose, eat food, or you just basically get infected that way. So when I used to work in intensive care, there were employees there sick with viruses. They were coughing into their hand and touching the computer or the phone and therefore spreading the virus. So incubating periods after you come in contact with a cold virus is 2 to 3 days. Depending on the virus and the health of your immune system, you can be sick 2 to 14 days, but most often it lasts 7 days. So if the cold lasts longer, it is an indication your immune system is low or weak, and you're just going to be sick with the cold, common cold longer. Now, one study listed that most infected surfaces that you would find in a hospital, they were all tested for results. Most people, you know, they usually select, you know, the floor, the bed rails, the patient's chart. Those are the things that they usually come up with. But actually, the curtain separating the beds, which is never washed, is the most infected surface. Also, the doctor's or nurse's stethoscope, which is not cleaned between patients. All right, how do you lower your risk? Well, these viruses are all around us most of the time, and we can minimize our risk of getting sick with a few precautions. You want to manage your stress, or it's going to lower your immunity and your resistance to these viruses. You want to limit exposure to infants, toddlers, preschool children who often are sick with colds and flus, especially in the winter. Also, the time of year, we are more susceptible during the cold winter months and the fall months, and we're indoors more. So we're exposed more close proximity to people that are sick with the cold. All right, and also you want the prevention measures to be effective. You want to avoid sugar, which lowers your immunity. So one candy bar, for instance, will shut off your immune system for 8 hours. Use immune support therapies like herbs and other supplements. Getting the flu shot is going to actually give you the flu, and you're going to shed those viruses off to others for 14 days. And the reason I know this is because during the manufacturing of the flu serum, the process mutates the virus that they're using. So it's never going to be effective to any of the viruses circulating that year. Well, let's look at cold and flu differences real quick. So there are a few differences, especially with the onset of symptoms between your cold and your influenza bugs. The common cold has a precursor symptom that kind of creeps in to seriously annoy you, like, you know, a little tickle or a scratch feeling in the back of your throat, maybe an itchy or stuffy nose, lots of sneezing, and also just slight fatigue. You feel like you just hit a wall suddenly. Those are like the precursor symptoms of a cold, a rhinovirus. Rarely will a cold produce high fevers of 102 degrees. So a cold that lingers can produce mucus and can get color to it, which can lead to things like bronchitis, sinusitis, ear infections, and pneumonia. And most folks will see a doctor way before the cold is 10 days old. So if symptoms persist for 14 days and worsen, then medical treatment may be recommended. Now, on the other hand, the flu comes on, bam, suddenly, and usually lasts longer than a cold and offers severe fatigue, digestive upset, aches and pains, and usually a high fever of 102. Here's something that's real important. If you missed my previous show or article on Herb Talk on how to get over the flu in 2 days, you want to visit those archives and look for the show that's dated October 12th, 2017. So you go to thepowerherbs.com and you click on Herb Talk. It'll take you to the archive page and look for that date. And the title of the show is Flu Season Intel, How to Prepare and Avoid the Flu. So listen to that and you will be so prepared, and you'll only have a cold or a flu 2 days. So why no cure? Why doesn't medicine have a cure? Well, Modern medicine has failed to come up with a cure for the common cold. There are too many viral strains. 1 to 200 strains are very common. And in your cold pathogen family, most folks get maybe 2 colds a year. It would take you maybe 50 years to experience all these strains, especially if they do not mutate. So the other reasons are that the typical common cold virus is not life-threatening, and also the disease is not really a big moneymaker for modern medicine. Let me read you this quote from Dr. Leonard Horowitz. He says, "They let you know the risks, who these people are, and what they're doing, and the American medicine, and the truth of that, the national pharmaceutical chemical cartels. Once you know the truth of all this and what they're up to, what their ideology is, and how they've been manipulating things all these years, now you're more aware of the risks and you can avoid risks. Once you've avoided risks, what are you actually doing, or what you're actually going to do for yourself and to protect yourself against the current and compelling competing plagues?" So he's saying, you know, prepare for the plagues. Plagues are big money makers. Yeah, let's look at the flu shot for just a minute. So the CDC rolls out this flu vaccine in September with the goal to vaccinate at least 80% of Americans. Now in 2022 to 2024, the flu season there, CDC reported that they did not vaccinate more than 49% of the population, compared to 2010 and 11, where 75% were vaccinated. So according to Dr. Horowitz, the avian flu was first reported in 2003 as SARS, your severe acute respiratory syndrome, and was found to be a mutating super germ. So Dr. Horowitz believes this germ was cultivated to be used in vaccines, not to protect us, but to infect us. So he feels that the virus will play an important role in the super plagues, and health experts have predicted for decades that this will infect America. Now, after 2020 COVID pandemic, we are told that the SARS virus and the COVID virus are similar in a coronavirus family. The primary difference is that SARS virus infects females and COVID males. I bet you hadn't heard that. So some of Horowitz's findings are considered to be kind of conspiracy theory, but if you have research evidence to back up your claim with research, then it becomes a reality. So Dr. Horowitz and other health experts have argued that the flu vaccine is purposely contaminated with a wide range of exotic viruses, including fungus. And this is similar to Dr. Anthony Norris's position, who was the former chief virologist of the FDA in the 1970s. So that's kind of creepy. So Dr. Horowitz also mentions a bizarre upper respiratory infection that does not follow any logical viral or bacterial onset and transition period and lasts weeks and sometimes months. So according to Dr. Horowitz, this particular illness has been showing up since 1998, but now is more widespread. Question if SARS was genetically engineered. So the public is supposed to believe SARS is a zoonotic virus from camels. Dr. Horowitz says this, the term latrogenicide is derived from a combination of words latrogenetis, meaning physical induction illness, and genocide, defined as a mass killing or an enslaving of the people for economic, political, and ideology reasons. So let's not forget that in the making of influenza serums for the vaccine, like I mentioned, the virus will be mutated in the process. Therefore, science knows the shots are kind of useless due to the mutation factor. So if the flu shot costs $15 to $25, let's say 50% of the U.S. population gets a flu shot, well, that's $2.6 to $4.3 million. Quite the incentive to keep the truth from the people there. Now, I haven't actually asked owners if they noticed the veterinarian area. The practice of veterinarian medicine has changed in the last 20, 30 years. They've added flu shots to their lined up multiple shots, actually, for pets. And now the pets have cancer, leukemia, autoimmune conditions, and diabetes, just like humans. Is that a coincidence? Do you believe in coincidences? Well, let's look at the AIDS breakdown, because it's kind of a scary thing to think scientists somewhere conspired to make a genetically engineered disease called AIDS. But according to Haurwitz, the disease is more correctly linked to the pathogenic mycoplasma, which is a flu-like viral infection plus a fungus infection. So according to him, the micro indicates fungal, but it's also really fungus and is not really a bacteria or a virus, but a pseudo combo of all three. It is it has no cell wall, and it goes deep into the cell nuclei, making it very difficult for the immune system to fight it. Difficult, but not impossible, he says. So this is a man-made disease, a biological weapon. Let's see, this is from a quote from Solohenitsyn, the company, who says, "To do evil, a human being must first believe that whatever he or she is doing is good. It's an ideology that gives devil doing its long-sought justification." End of quote. Well, let's look at the five steps. Haurwitz has a healing protocol that he says parallels health philosophies to help cleanse and nourish the system. That's what I like to do. He says you want to detox your body. He says you want to change your body's chemistry to be more alkaline. Acidic chemistry is breeding grounds for bacterial infections and other agents. So drink more water with lemon for your pH to be neutral around 7 or 8. He also says boost your immune system, use your organic whole food supplements, and get more oxygen through the system and cleanse the blood system. He says de-stress the body and ground your electromagnetic energy. Yeah. A lot of people, going for those grounding sheets and stuff, and they say they feel better. Well, personally, I am not taking any jabs willingly. I personally would never get a vaccine, any kind. Instead, I like to empower my own immune system that God gave me to reduce the chance of illness or to get over it quickly. So if I do get sick, what I look for is the opportunity to allow my immune system to code an antibody for that particular disease, and I use herbs to strengthen the immune system and to reduce the duration of the illness. So your body has adaptogen immune cells. So let's say last year you got a cold, and then this year you have a cold which is similar to the previous cold. Your immune system identifies it, so it'll take last year's antibody that it made and adapt it to your new strain of virus and help you, get over the illness faster. Your symptoms would be less, and your duration of illness would be less. So your immune system has adaptogen cells. Your body remembers your immune system, killer T cell cells that you used for a specific disease, and can adapt them. So, you want to strengthen your immune system and not weaken it. So drug-resistant bacteria really aren't resistant to your immune system cells. And don't forget, if you read Psalms 91, God says he offers supernatural protection over your health. So don't forget that. And God's word instructs you to use herbs, because it says herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations. And God can't lie. Now, if you're looking for immune boosting herbs or even pandemic type herbs, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have you already. They have a myriad of immune formulas, targeted ones, more broad spectrum ones, and they educate you how you can even layer and use certain formulas together for more power. So there's a synergistic action when you can layer herbs, and they like to educate you on that. So you can pick up their free catalog at thepowerherbs.com, or simply give them a call at 866-229-3663. International number is 828-469-5972. Of course, The Power Herbs has all their products listed there, ingredients, counter-regulatory information. Try to educate you. If you're taking a particular prescription, they'll say don't use this herb. So they want you to be safe and an educated consumer. Free product catalog and newsletters that you sign up to and delivered by email, those are all going to be empowering for you. So you're going to have tools, you're going to have knowledge. Tools and knowledge got to go together. And because if you got tools and no knowledge, it's like trying to fly a kite with no wind. So definitely check them out, thepowerherbs.com, and be empowered. Well, I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.